Revelation 3:14 through 22. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth. I do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the last sermon on the continuing series that I have done from the book of Revelation, and in response to the book Autopsy of a Deceased Church and How Not to Become One, or something close to that. Let me tell you that I cannot read the scripture without emotion, without feeling. I cannot read the scripture about the church of Laodicea because it's very personal to me. This scripture changed my life. This scripture led me to the ministry. This scripture led me to teach like I had never taught before. This scripture led me to pray like I had never prayed before. This scripture was in the fourth month of a 2-year Bible study of the book of Revelation that Debbie and I did. And when we read this scripture, just like at Tomahawk, there was a core group of people who always came at Buckton to every Bible study, and we were always there, and they were active in the church and things, and they were always right there listening. And so this wasn't just a group of people who never came to, only came to church now and then, or only came to Bible studies now and then, or only participated now and then. This was mostly people who served on a session, and people who were leaders in the church, who taught Sunday school, who sang in the choir, and always came to the Bible studies faithfully. And we read this scripture, not the other earlier churches, but this one. And the room was silent. And when we dared to look at one another, we lowered our eyes because we were ashamed. This was our church. This was Buckton Presbyterian Church. Let me tell you that many of the people who read this scripture are the same group of the same 35 people who left that church earlier this year because they felt that the church had wandered away from their understanding of the Bible. And they started a new church. And they have 35, 38 people coming and meeting in a garage every Sunday. This scripture changed lives. This scripture spoke to me. It led me to understand that while I was saved, I had salvation. Jesus Christ had saved me from sin. Years earlier, Jesus Christ had come into my life, and I was lukewarm. I wasn't living the life that Jesus Christ wanted me to live. I was great on Sundays. I was great on Bible studies. On the Wednesday night we had the Bible studies. I was fine at session meetings. I was great at hymn sings. And the rest of my life, Jesus was kind of set aside. Oh, I would call on him when I was in trouble. I would call on him when I needed to. But I wasn't living my life in Jesus Christ. This is scripture that I could not ignore. This was condemning, damning, convicting scripture. You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm saved. I've received Jesus Christ. I've received the Holy Spirit. I understand that. But over and over and over again, it talks about Jesus Christ. It talks about John the Baptist. It talks about Stephen in the book of Acts. It talks about Paul. It talks about them over again. It says, and Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. And Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. And on and on and on in the Old Testament, filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Being saved is not being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's being saved. It's not going to hell. It's going to heaven, not hell. There's the old song that I recall. A few of us are old enough to remember. Maybe a couple of us aren't. Is that all there is? And the lady talked about that. She said, is that all there is to life? If it is, then I'll just keep on dancing. A sad song. If that's all there is to being saved, Jesus said, I'll spit it out. We need to read this scripture. We need to understand what this scripture says to us. This scripture says, when he talks about this, he said, you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. Because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. He goes down in verse 19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. There, my friends, my brothers and sisters, there is the hope. Because what happened to me when I heard this scripture, when I read this scripture was, I was rebuked and disciplined by Jesus Christ. I was rebuked and disciplined by the Spirit of Jesus Christ for being lukewarm. But it says more than that. Read with me 19. It says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Jesus Christ loves you. That's why he rebukes and disciplines you. We love our children, so we rebuke and we discipline them. We love our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. That's why we rebuke and discipline them, because we love them. Jesus isn't saying he's giving up on this church of Laodicea. He says, because I love you, I rebuke and discipline you. There's hope. There's an opportunity to be different. There's an opportunity to be filled with the Spirit. I challenge you to read the scripture this week. Understand the scripture. And when you read the scripture, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, and change this to the angel of Bill Barnett, right? And you can fill in the name. The faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation, He goes on to say, I know your deeds. He talks about, you think you're rich, but you're poor. You think you're clothed, but you're naked. God knows our hearts. He is offering the Holy Spirit to fill us, to change our lives. Let me ask you something. If I take a paper towel, I take a dishcloth, and I dip it in a pail of water, and I pick it up, it might drip a little bit. But if I decide to put it under stress and I squeeze it, what comes out? Water. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you are stressed and you get squeezed and you get pushed and you get tempted and you're trying to change something and it's not changing and you get squeezed, what comes out? Only what is put in it. And if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't come out. If you have somebody come up and they do something absolutely horrible, they say something horrible to you, they say something that they had no right to say, they knew it would hurt you, they did it intentionally, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, what comes out? But if you're not, a void and a vacuum is always filled with something. What comes out is hate. What comes out is anger. What comes out is pain and hurt. But if you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you get stressed and you get squeezed, out comes the Holy Spirit. It is so, so important. If Jesus Christ hasn't changed your life and changed it completely, then you may be saved from hell, but you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. You've missed the joy completely. And the good news is, there is time. This book was written in the last book of the Bible. This book was written in the book of Revelation, the book of end times. My friends, the people who were dispersed over the entire world, who had no country for 2,000 years, are back in Jerusalem, just like the Bible said they would be. We're not in end times, but we may be in the end of the church time. This is the time of the church. This is the time the Bible calls the time of the church. The people, the only nation of people that were ever dispersed in history throughout the whole world and were brought together, even used the original language which was not spoken as a language any country in the world. They speak Hebrew, just as they did 2,000 years earlier. Do you believe in miracles? I do. I believe that God is at work in this world, in this earth today, just as much as He was in the time that Jesus Christ walked on this earth. God is working and working now, but He needs to have His workers ready. Did you just hear the song that the choir sang? He touched me. And now, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. It doesn't say that He touched me and I'm not going to hell. Have you dipped the dish towel of your life in the Word of God? Have you soaked it up like a sponge? Are you seeking the Holy Spirit in your prayers? Are you opening yourself in your prayer to receive the Holy Spirit in its fullness, not in just its mercy, but in its richness, not in just its salvation, in its grace? This church at Laodicea sounds very familiar to me. The problem is that when I first read this scripture, before I read this scripture, before I was convicted of this sin, before I was convicted by Jesus Christ's own words, I was very comfortable in a church of Laodicea. I was very happy in a church of Laodicea. I thought I was doing good in a church of Laodicea. I thought everything was okay. I had no need to delve further into the Bible than to be prepared to teach a Sunday school lesson or a Bible study. I had no need to spend more time in prayer than it took to run down the hit list of the things that I had to check off each day. I had no need to sit silent waiting for the words of the Holy Spirit to come to me. I was fine. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. We will never be anything but a church on a dead-end road at the top of the hill, right past the other church, if we are not filled with the Holy Spirit, if we are not praying more than other people pray, if we are not feeling the Spirit move in us more than other people pray, if we are not afraid to receive the Word of God and allow it to guide us and allow it to wake us and allow it to call us to service, allow it to call us to be witnesses for God, and allow us to call us to change our lives and for us to trust in that Holy Spirit, we will never be more than this if we don't have more of the Spirit. If we don't have more of a commitment to Jesus Christ, if all we are is saved, that's wonderful. And that's nothing except not failing completely. Amen.